Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Are all parties dialed in? Everybody's in. I'd like to introduce the party to you. We have Kobus Lewis, who is the CFO and FD of the company at the Frontier. Andre van der Berg, who is the Executive at Human Resources. We've got Neil Reynolds, the coordinator, the group financial coordinator. We've got the group financial manager, Neil Symington. And we've got Ziso Tlamini, who is the group accountant. And I think you've all met Liz outside, who is the PA to the CEO, although she's only PA in corporate office. They don't have a PA, so she's actually the PA to us all. So I'd like to welcome you all to the unaudited interim results presentation. The way we will do the presentation today is you'll see that the presentation booklet is pretty hefty. It's more than 50 pages. It's not our intention to go through page for page. What we will do is that we will highlight the topics on pages, and we will try and make sure that we communicate the page numbers before we discuss them so that the dial-in callers can also follow us. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session as well, so please feel free to ask any questions. The environment in which the South African mining industry operates is currently uneasy. The issues are, some of them are external and some are internal issues. Some are controllable, others are not. What we need to make sure is that all the parties involved have to address these issues. And these parties are naturally the mining companies, the trade unions, and government as well. I think if you listen to the State of the Nation address last week, Thursday, the President also indicated that government has got a concern. We're going through difficult times, but I'm sure that if we all prevail, we'll get the industry back on track. Despite these challenges and many negative perceptions in the market, SA remains the African powerhouse in respect of the best infrastructure, technical skills, as well as our economy. We are, as Pan African Resources, primarily a South African company, and we are content to be operating here. We are also not exempted from all these challenges and perceptions that are out there, but we do believe that Pan African Resources has the assets, the skills base, and the will to continue to deliver the successes that is needed to achieve results going forward. Our old lady Barberton mine continues to deliver the goods and remains the pillars of our operation. Iranda Mines has now been fully integrated and is also performing as anticipated. The Barberton Tailings Retreatment Plant has been successfully commissioned and is delivering ounces at an exceptional margin. Pan African Resources is now clearly positioned as a mid-tier precious metal producer with improved operational flexibility. We are pleased with the group's exceptional operating and financial performances over the past 6 months. The results affirm our commitment to sustainable delivery for all our stakeholders. Right up front, I wish to thank all the staff in the group that's on the mines and at corporate offices for their continued support and their hard work. Mm-hmm. A special word of gratitude must go out to Kasper Stradom, Manny De Silva, and Bert McLeod, who are our managers on the operation. Our culture of sustainable delivery will continue to drive us into the future. Can we move on to page 4, please? Going to page 4, you'll see that the gold sold has increased by 123% from 45,000 to 100,000 ounces for the 6 months. The revenue has increased 102% from 670 million to 1.35 billion rand. Headline earnings per share has also increased 31%. If one looks at the cost, you can see that we believe we do have costs under control. The costs, all-in costs of the group, down 2%, and the cash costs are up by 16%. If we can move on to page 7. I'll just discuss the key drivers for continued growth. We continue to target 250,000 ounces in the medium term, and we expect and hopefully we'll be there within the next 12 months, by the end of 12 months. We have a strong statement of financial position. The production and growth focus of the group will continue to be low cost and to look after the margins, drive for improved efficiencies in production, on the production side, and then we have potential growth on all three operations, especially when you look at the organic growth potential that's within the current operational areas, and not like like at Evander where we talked about the projects, the greenfields projects. We also have a unique exposure to precious metal, our precious metals portfolio, which is gold and platinum, albeit that Phoenix is battling at the moment. There are attractive projects that we're looking at the moment. The first one is the ETRP. It is in the final stages of feasibility. We will be in a position to make an announcement in a few months. And then also looking at the Evander long-term projects, which are Poplar, Evander South, and the deeper ore body at Rolspruit. The ore body at Rolspruit is the extension of the current mining area. We also positioned to capitalize on further opportunities. And I think it's also important that we see ourselves as a mid-tier precious metals producer at the moment. Sanduka is our shareholder. Allows us to be compliant with the legislation. Then moving on to page 8, where we look at the group resources. Even though we don't value ourselves by the resources we have in the ground, we have had a significant increase of over 500% in the gold resources with the acquisition of Evander. Moving on to page 9, the reserve ounces increased by almost 700%, which was also as a result of the acquisition of Evander Mines. What I'd like to do at this point is introduce Cobus to the podium, so you can just take us briefly through the financial results. Thank you, Cobus.
Thanks, Ron. It is a fairly pleasing set of financial results, and I think it's important to note that this is the first 6 month period where Evander has contributed for the full 6 months, and that should be taken into account. Also, when you look at our results, it's very important to note that both the US dollar and the GBP or pound exchange rate is important to take into account. So in the 6 months, the rand weakened by 18% against the pound and by 19% against the US dollar. So that obviously certainly benefited us in terms of revenue received in rand terms, and the inflationary impact of it is pretty small. We're not exposed to big feet of heavy yellow equipment, etc. In terms of the gold price, the US dollar gold price was down 22% in the period when compared to the comparable period, but it was down only 8% in rand terms, from 458,000 rand per kg to 424. In terms of revenue, we had a very nice increase to 1.35 billion from the previous 640 million. That's a 100% increase in our revenue. In terms of contribution, Barberton Mines, the underground operations contributed 45,000 ounces of the revenue. Barberton, BTRP, or the Barberton Tailings Plant, contributed 11,000 ounces. Evander, 43,000 ounces, and then a contribution of 3,100 ounces from Phoenix. So in total, as Ron mentioned, we produced over 100,000 ounces of gold, which is 123% increase when compared to the comparable period. Thanks, Neil. If we can go to slide 11. So in terms of attributable profit, also a very good result. Rand, 276 million rands of attributable profits versus 166 million in the comparable period. That's a 66% increase in rand, or 40% increase in pounds. In terms of the EBITDAs contributed by the different operations, Barberton Mines, the underground operations contributed just over 230 million rand. The Barberton Tailings Plant contributed 85 million rand, and then Evander contributed 123 million rand. And I think despite the issues at Phoenix, Phoenix contributed an EBITDA of 1.7 million rand, so it certainly is break-even, and it's delivering a little bit of a cash contribution to the group. If we move to slide 12, which is the headline earnings per share, important to note that in this period there's no adjustment between headline earnings per share and earnings per share, so they're exactly the same. In terms of our shares in issue, the shares in issue increased to 1.82 billion versus 1.44 billion in the prior comparable period. That's a 26% increase that's related to shares issued to fund the Evander acquisition. In terms of our headline earnings per share and our earnings per share, very nice increase. It's a 31% increase in rand terms and a 12% increase in pound terms. If we can move on to slide 14, we'll just quickly discuss our cost situation, which I think, again, very good performance from all the operations. In terms of all-in sustaining cash costs, we delivered our kilograms at a 312,000 rand per kilogram cash cost, all-in sustaining cash cost. That's a 112,000 rand margin per kilo, or a 36%. Margin all in all. And I think if we look at the different operations, Barberton delivered ounces that had a very outstanding cash cost. If you look at the all-in cost, it was 295,000 rand per kg versus 345 in the comparable period. That's actually a decrease of 15% per kg. In terms of cash cost, at Barberton it remained pretty much flat. At around 233,000 rand per kg. And again, we have to mention the contribution from the Barberton Tailings Plant. The BTRP produced gold at a cash cost of 147,000 rand per kg, which is exceptional and really very low. In terms of Evander, we have mentioned the low-grade cycle that obviously does affect cost per ounce or cost per kg, but the team did pretty well in terms of keeping costs down, so we only had a 5% increase to 394,000 per kg versus 374 in the comparable period. In the presentation, we don't discuss the statement of the financial position in great detail, but just a couple of points. I think our operations are cash generative in the period under review. We generated from operations just close on 130 million rand. And that is after the payment of the 240 million rands in December as the dividend. So that's a pretty good position for us to be in. Currently, today, we have net debt of only 100 million rand. So again, pretty strong position. And that does position us pretty well to maintain our dividend to shareholders come the final results. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Grivis. Moving on to Barberton, the review of Barberton operations. Going to page 17, operation at the glance. Barberton is positioned in the Mpumalanga province. The number of employees, total number of employees in the mine is just over 2,400 employees. The head grade, we have been able to contain and maintain a head grade in excess of 10 grams per ton at the mine. That will naturally drop down once you bring in the dilutive effect of the tailings operation. And then also the life of mine of Barberton is 17 years, and at Phoenix currently 12 years. At the BTRP is currently 12 years. If you can move on to page 19 and 20. As can be seen from these, from the graph on page 19 and page 20, the safety trends are downward, and they're generally in line with the target set by the DMR. However, it is with regret that we report that during the period under review that we had two fatalities at Barberton Mine. Both of these fatalities occurred in July. The two deceased employees were Elias Mabasa. That accident occurred at Sheba at the ZK stoping section in a fall of ground accident. And the other fatality occurred to Mr. Bendani at Fairview Mine in the Rossiter stope, where he was also struck by a rock. Our condolences go out to the family, members of both Elias and Ben, as well as to the employees on Barberton and to the group as a whole. We can move on to page 22. It is clear that Barberton has been sustaining its tonnage profile over the last few years, and that from all the operations. And at the same time, in the last year, we had an underground head grade of 11.5 grams per ton. If we can move on to page 22. During the commissioning and the build-up phase at the Barberton retreatment project, we produced roughly 300, or we treated roughly 350,000 tons of tailings at a head grade of 1.7 grams per ton, which is higher than the average head grade in a tailings dam, which is 1.47. The reason for that is that there are certain calcine and biox tailings which run at a much higher grade, which were lying in layers, and to access the center of the dam, we had to mine certain first of all. Going forward, we expect to be mining at roughly 1.4, 1.5 grams per ton. If we can move on to page 23. Gold sold at Barberton, you can see the effect of the BTRP over the last 6 months. The BTRP contributed 11,600 ounces. The total production at Barberton was 57,000 ounces. If we can move then on to page 26. The cash cost breakdown, this is at Barberton, which includes the BTRP. Generally speaking, there are not too many differences to a normal to the normal breakdown of the cost contributors, but the major cost contributors remain salaries and wages at 45% of the total bill. You will see the one area where cost did increase is the processing cost. Now, the main reason for that is because that is the largest cost contributor at the BTRP. Two positives that positive outcomes that we had during the year. The one was that we concluded wage negotiations for a two-year period. Wage increases are between 7.5% and 8% at Barberton. And we also concluded a similar agreement at Evander. The other cost contributors electricity, which I'd just like to touch on. NERSA has actually limited and capped the increases to 8%. Our next increase comes due on the 1st of April, so that will carry on from this April to the following year. So we do not expect to have any undue increases in power. If you turn over to page 27, where we look at the cost reduction of the GTRP. Here you see that labor only contributes 8%, contributes towards 8% of the total cost, and that is because we have only 47 employees at the, on the operation. The biggest contributor then actually on the processing side is cyanide, where we spend $24.3 million over the last 6 months, followed by lime, electricity, and the last one is carbon for the carbon leach process. If you can move on to page 28, we have a look at the CapEx at Barberton. CapEx is well controlled at the mine, and during the period of the review, the final amount of capital associated with the commissioning of the plant of 35.8 million rand came through. That will not be there for the next 6 months. So I think that if you look at it overall, that capital is well controlled. Moving on to page 30. This is a table that we put in just to indicate the top 20 percentile bore holes when you look at from a grade point of view. We continue identifying various high-grade fractures across all three of the mines at Fairview, Sheba, and Consort, and as well as targeting some of the known ore bodies, for example, the extension of the ZK fracture at Sheba, as well as the 11 block on Fairview Mine. Moving on to the Evander review on page 34. Evander is also situated in the Mpumalanga area, so when you visit Barberton or Evander, they're relatively close. We do it in a round trip. And I think if you recall that we concluded the acquisition of Evander from Harmony in April 2013, and it is now fully integrated. The life of mine at Evander is 14 years. And the total number of employees is 2,449. Moving over to page 36 and 37. Looking at the accident rates and statistics, the safety trends at Evander confirm the group's progress in achieving and exceeding the DMR targets at Evander. It's definitely, we'll start to do that at Barberton as well. On page 37, just looking at the total recordable injury frequency rate, it's come down nicely over the past 6 months. Moving on to page 38, where we discuss the production statistics. At Evander, we are maintaining our tonnage profile, even though we are now fully in the low-grade cycle. Naturally, the low-grade cycle affects the ounces produced at Evander. Moving on to page 39. This low-grade cycle that we have entered into actually indicates a few ounces. You can see that the ounces produced from Evander underground has dropped down to 43,000 ounces. Moving on to page 40. Looking at the total cash cost at Evander, the lower ounces produced also had an impact on the cost in rand per kilogram, where you can see that the all-in cost increased by 5% during the period under review, from 374,000 rand per kilogram to 4,000 rand per kilogram. Moving on to page 42, looking at the cash cost breakdown and what contributes to the cash cost. It's not much different to what Barberton is. You can see that the major contributor there is labor, and then that is followed by electricity. Moving on to page 43. The capital expenditure at Evander. The capital expenditure at the mine has decreased by 30% over the period compared to the previous period, and is the lowest that it has been in the past 5 years. Just a comment there, the orange of the graph that you can see there, that is the capital associated to the major project, which is the downward extension of the ore body below 24 level. The decline is already on 25 level. We currently have converted from mechanized development into rail-bound development there, and we will now access the crosscuts towards the reef and then establish the block between the reef block between 24 and 25 level. That is the block that we'll be mining when we go back into the high-grade cycle. So as the crews complete the mining and stoping on the upper level of 24 level to 23 level, we will then move the crews down to 25 level. Moving on to page 48. Phoenix. Phoenix, again, since its inception, has had no accidents reported at all. The feedstock issues continue at Phoenix. Despite this, Phoenix, as was mentioned a bit early, did contribute to our bottom line, and it contributes R1.5 million worth of cash flow to the group. Moving on to page 50. The outlook for 2014, if you will recall, this outlook was also presented at the 2013 results presentation in September. We're directing all our efforts towards reducing the severity of the accidents. Our trends, as you have seen in the graph, show that we are on the right track, but the severity of the accidents that we're having is what we need to address. And we are giving it all the attention that it requires. We will continue to focus delivery on profitable ounces, as well as looking after our costs. The effect of the low-grade cycle, which I referred to a bit earlier, the Evander, where we are entering the lowest trough of that cycle, I think we will be able to ameliorate most of the effects of that by targeting a few things. One of them is that we need to make sure that the infrastructure, bearing in mind that all the rock hoisted from underground has to be brought to 8 shaft via a series of 10 conveyor belts, and that. So from an infrastructural point of view, we've got to also keep an eye on the ball there. We have commenced the sweeping and damping project on 7 shaft. That's going flat out at this point in time. The extension of the life of the surface sources, we have over and above the 3-year extension that we identified at the beginning of this financial year. We've also now identified additional higher grade surface material close to Bracken that we will be feeding into the plant. I did mention that we're busy with a feasibility study on the Evander tailings retreatment plant. The pre-feasibility study was completed at the end of November, and from there we moved on to the feasibility studies. So, as I said, in the next few months we will definitely make comment on that. Looking at the project that we have, the Greenfield project at Evander, we are advancing this project, albeit at a slow rate. We find parties that are interested in doing something with us on those, so we will continue pushing that forward. And at the same time, I'd just like to make a comment is that the progress that we've had at the BTRP has definitely helped us with our answers over the first 6 months, and it's definitely our intention to try and ensure that that continues in that fashion for the next 6 months. What I'd like to do is ask Kobus to come over again and just to take us through our investment case, which is on page 54. Thanks, Kobus.
Thanks, Ron. To conclude, just in terms of our investment case, we like to believe that Pan African has a proven business model and a proven track record. We have a culture of delivery, and I think the recent commissioning of the BTRP on time, on budget, is, again, a recent example of this. We have quality assets. They're pretty low down on the cost curve and will continue to be so. We're very much people-focused. We try and cut down on red tape, no unnecessary overhead, no unnecessary costs, and we get things done as quickly as we can. We also understand what drives value for our shareholders in terms of also delivering a cash return. When we declared our year-end dividend, it was a 6% yield, and certainly in terms of our statement of financial position, we have every indication that we will be able to continue to deliver a cash return for shareholders. We also believe it would be preferable to and also many other investments, including ETFs or physical gold. We have profitable production. We will continue to grow our production. We have a significant resource and reserve base. As Ron mentioned, we increased reserves by close on 700% in the last year. And certainly, management will continue to drive growth and profits for shareholders.
Thank you very much for listening to the presentation. What we'll do is we'll take questions from the floor. Are there any questions? Yes. Oh, no, of the mic, if you don't mind. So you speak up the mic so that the callers on the dialing can also hear what you say.
Ron, Brendan Ryan, Business Day. You indicated that you're interested in taking advantage of opportunities being thrown up by the current state of mining industry, and I take that to mean merger and acquisition activity. Could you elaborate on what it is you're looking for from a Pan-African perspective and what you think might become available under what you call the current conditions?
Thanks for the question. Brendan, yes, I think it's not something new. Over the last, I suppose, 2 to 3 years, we have had people knock on the door. We have identified areas to look at, such as Evander as well. We evaluate projects as just normal part of the business. We are not targeting any specific project, so I don't think that we can mention any projects at this point in time that we're targeting. But we've got our eyes open and an ear to the ground at the moment.
In another chart mine in Namibia, which has just been sold by AngloGold Ashanti?
We did have a sense announcement that went out, that we put out in October. I don't want to dwell on another chart itself, but what I would like to say is that if a project hasn't got the margins, and through that we mean that from day one, it's value attractive to us. We would not be interested in looking at projects. But on another shop thing, there's no comment.
And then just one last question, Ron. What is the attitude of your important shareholders to your interest in merger and acquisition activity? Because I have heard via the grapevine that what they'd like you to do is deliver the goods, make money, and pay dividends.
Brendan, when we're offline, you can perhaps give me a name or two, and I'll contact the guys and have a bit of a chat to them. At this point in time, there's been no pressure from them for us to do anything in that direction. We are, if you look at the Pan-African Resources Board, we've got an extremely strong board, and as well as the strong shareholder base that we have, not only in South Africa, through the inspos and the retail, but also in the UK. So, we'll pay due diligence to whatever we do on that line, in that line.
So you haven't given any guidance from your shareholders to what you should be doing?
Not at this stage, no.
Thanks. Ron, Bruce Williamson in Mara Asset Management. Ron, there's been a fair amount of speculation in the press that Cyril Ramaphosa will probably be part of the new government post-election. Equally so that Shanduka will have to sell off its equity stakes in its various investments. Have you guys got a contingency? What happens next if that, or you once empowered, always empowered?
Bruce, just on a comment on that, maybe just also pass the mic back to Gervis as well, he can also assist with this one. The once empowered, always empowered rule does not apply in South Africa. That's just, I think that's quite important. I just would like to say that as a shareholder, Shanduka has always been supportive. It's not locked in. Cyril Ramaphosa and Shanduka are naturally looking at their own options, and maybe Kribbis, who was in the Shanduka fold until the 1st of January, can maybe just add a bit of colour.
So just to add to what Ron said, I mean, I think Shanduka has always been a supportive shareholder. They follow their rights in terms of the Evander acquisition, and in addition to being supportive, I mean, Shanduka, I believe, will be continuing to be also very responsible in what they do. So, I mean, we're not likely to find ourselves without empowerment overnight. Even though the situation it might be fluid, I mean, we're quite comfortable with our current situation, and we don't believe it will change soon.
Bruce, are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Ron, Brendan Ryan again. Could you give us some more details on how you see things developing at Phoenix going forward? It's breaking even, which is good, but at one point you had big plans for Phoenix, and where are we with what could happen in the future regarding meeting those plans?
The first thing with Phoenix is to achieve stability at the plant itself, which if you look at the management team and all the technical inputs that we have put into Phoenix at this point in time, directing towards getting the best possible recoveries at the moment has paid off. Since December through to today, we have actually improved the recovery through changing the reagent suite. So on that side, I think Phoenix, we will just continue. But looking going forward, at this point in time, I was asked the question a bit earlier, you know, why don't we sell Phoenix? I think, you know, selling something just for the sake of selling it and at the wrong time is not necessarily the best thing for one, the company, and therefore the shareholders. And the other thing is our relationship with IFM is of such that we need to make sure that IFM also down the line return to sulfide feedstock for us. The indication is that that will be forthcoming. It's still early days to give too much detail on that. And Brendan, that's really what we will do at the moment, is keep on what we're doing at the moment and not spending too much cash on Phoenix. That answers your question.
Spot on, similar. You can't give an idea of when you're going to get back to a proper sulfide feedstock, which would make all the difference to the stock.
Well, I do not see that happening in the next 12 months. Even though there is potentially a build-up of it.
And then, if I remember correctly, Ron, you indicated previously that you saw Phoenix as a stepping stone to a bigger operation, that there were other projects in the area that you could treat for Phoenix. Anything further on that?
The potential to expand and to develop that market is out there, but I think at the same time one has got to make sure that numerous issues in the platinum industry are sorted, the first being the current situation around the labour situation, as well as, you know, the success of Phoenix. Phoenix has got to do more than wash its face so that we can move forward.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the floor?
Yeah, Henning, I was going to ask a general question in the mining industry. I think we've all seen these illegal miners coming out of the ground. Who actually treats the gold that they bring to the top? Where does that go to? And how big is it really in the industry? This is more of a personal interest.
We're not exempt from illegal miners. I think if everyone goes back into the history of Barberton, specifically at Barberton,
But we have sorted out the problem to a huge degree. We still do at Barberton have occasions where not only the illegal miners are caught by our security as well as our employees. We operate through an intelligence system. The intelligence systems out there at this point in time indicate that there are numerous gold syndicates, illegal syndicates operating. I don't really know who's at the top of it, and I think other than that comment, there is no comment. Any other questions from the floor? Are there any questions from the dial-in callers?
Yes, sir. We have two persons in the queue. First question comes from Dmitry Kalachev of Calicor. Please go ahead, sir.
Please go ahead. Hello. Thank you. Hello. Thank you very much for the presentation and congratulations on